Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Midweek Motivation. My question for us today is, have you ever desired something that someone else had? Be honest. My answer is yes, I have. And we're going to look at a little story by Arnold Lobel. It's Frog and Toad. And one of the little stories within the large collection is called The Garden. And it's a great example for us today to then dive into the word. So I'm just going to start with the story. The garden. Frog was in his garden and Toad came walking by. "What a fine garden you have, Frog," he said.
"Yes," said Frog.
"It is very nice, but it was hard work."
"I wish I had a garden," said Toad.
There we are. We're already at the place of desire. If you go a little farther into the story, he basically is asking Frog, "Well, how do I get one then?" And Frog tells him, "Here are some flower seeds. Plant them in the ground," said Frog, "and soon you will have a garden."
"How soon?"
asked Toad. So now he's in a dilemma. He has this deep desire, but you can tell pretty quickly he doesn't really want to work at it. He wants it done yesterday. So then he runs home, he plants the seeds, he's walking up and down and they're not growing, it's not happening quick enough for him. So he starts demanding, he starts screaming,
"Now seeds, start growing,"
he says loudly. But of course that doesn't help. Then the next thing he does is he basically runs back to Frog and he tells Frog he's got the seeds, he put them in the ground, nothing's happening. And Frog shows him that it's going to take time. In fact, Frog says, "Leave them alone for a few days. Let the sun shine on them. Let the rain fall on them. And soon your seeds will start to grow." Frog is showing that it is dependent on something else, not just your wanting it or wishing it or waiting it to happen. It depends on the sun. It depends on rain. And it depends on, the scientific idea of how a seed sprouts is a whole other thing. Then he allows some time for sun, he allows some time for rain, but he is still not quite patient enough until finally, after he's almost giving up all hope, he runs out to where his little garden is. And he sees tiny little plants. So Frog actually is the one that says, Toad, wake up. Look at your garden. So Toad looks at his garden where the little green plants are coming up out of the ground. And he shouts, at last, because he finally sees something on display. So finally, he wasn't believing in something he couldn't see, but finally he believes in something that he can. And at the very end, Frog says to him, "Now you have a nice garden too." And Toad says, "Yes, but you were right, Frog. It was very hard work." So my question for us is God the gardener of our soul? Is God the gardener of your soul? I can sit here today and truthfully, authentically say to you, God is the gardener of my soul. But that comes with spiritual growth that leads into spiritual maturity. And on this side of my process of allowing God to be my gardener, I can rely on past experience. I had the desire at an early age to know God more. I was faced with a dilemma of, well, how does that happen? How soon can I start to hear from Him? How long is it going to take? What measures do I have to put in place? What practices does that demand from me? And in some ways, I would get to a point where I'd be like, hey, listen, I've been listening to the Word of God. I've been reading the Word of God. I'm trying to study. I go to church. I serve at church. I kind of started putting demands on it happening like Toad did. And then Frog and many mentors in my life reminded me the growth of spiritual maturity happens when our dependency grows. When Frog alluded to Toad, you got to let the sun shine and you got to let the rain fall. I can guarantee you that applies to your spiritual growth. You have got to let the Son of God and God and the Holy Spirit shine on you, and you have got to let the rain fall. You have to accept whatever situation and season and turmoil and icky and sticky as life happens. You've got to just say, my dependency is on you, O God. You're going to get me through this. You are providing a way. You already know my way out. You already know my other side. You already know how you're going to display your truth, how I'm going to display my trust in you, and I am dedicated for the long haul. Out of that, and out of me seeing how that came true, is how my dedication to, yes, I am in this for the long haul. Yes, I have a nice garden, but wow, Frog, you are right. It is very hard work. But it is a process that I want to let any of you know, however far into the journey and the pursuit you are. The first thing is we have to desire spiritual growth. That is the first step. You have to want something to want to even get there. So after you know that you are a sinner and you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Savior, He is the only way. He is the first step for us to begin spiritual journeys. We have to know that God created us. We have to know that we are sinners. And then we have to know that the way He provided for us to spend eternity with Him is that He sent His Son, His pure and perfect Son, to die on the cross to make a way for us. He is our sin covering. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. So the first thing is, do you desire a deeper relationship, a spiritual journey, spiritual growth with your God? That's the first step. Then you will be faced with a dilemma that you want it so badly, but you want it now, or you wanted it yesterday, or you start on the journey of reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, studying the Word of God, getting into a community, going to church, serving in a capacity that you can serve. You're like, all in, I'm all in. But then you're like, but I don't see anything. I don't see any of the little plants poking up out of the ground, just like Toad did. He like gave up before he got up. And the devil wants to pull us down so quickly that he is really going to want to lead us into like a despair. But if you have the desire, and if you are in the dilemma with, well, how does that look? Then those are the first two steps. And then you start realizing that your dependency and your dependency alone has got to be on God and God's word. Others can be there along the way to disciple, to mentor you, to cheerlead you, but short stick, your dependency has to be on God and His Word. He is who you are going to have to take your woes and your glows to. He is the one that you need to be reading His Word and praying to Him. He is the one that you need to be asking, what do I need to do next? Direct me to where in the Bible you want me to read next. Guide me to a person that you want me to sit under and listen to. guide me to the church that you want me to be a part of and serve alongside. But your dependency is from him and him alone, because he never fails. Humans will fail. He, your heavenly father, will never fail you. The relationship you have with your earthly father is one thing. The relationship you have with your earthly mother, that's another thing. The relationship you have with earthly, your friends, your spouse, your kids, those are all amazing relationships or not. I do not know your circumstance, but your dependency on your God, he will never fail. And then there will be times of display where you're like, yes, God, I see you. I know that's you. I hear you. I know you're moving. I'm going to walk this out. And then there will be times of maybe perceived silence where you don't initially see, well, now what? Now what? I don't see you. I don't hear you. I don't feel you. And that's where the dedication comes. The dedication is then to just continue that cycle. Abide in his word. Read his word. Listen to his word. Study his word. Stay in community. Just stay in that place of abiding in him. And I want us to talk about the motivation for going to God's word. The motivation for going to God's word is not when we need something from God. The motivation for going to God's word should be daily as he needs something, us. And the more we go to his word, the more he can speak to us, cut into us, convict us, affirm us, strengthen us, renew us, cause us to surrender. It's the Holy Spirit speaking in that whisper from his word to us. But if you are only going to God's word when you're in the search or the need or the answers, then you're missing the season, the time, the days, the months, the years of just abiding in him, not asking anything from him. The minute you decide for yourself that your God is your good God, your creator, your strength, your faithfulness, your peace, your joy, he's good because of who he is and not what he does, will be a huge mind shift for you. It's the being overwhelmed with joy in the Lord your God, period. Not for anything he's doing, not for anything that he's bringing, not for anything that he's causing. But if you literally, like, look at Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of righteousness. We should be grateful and joyful simply for Christ's redeeming blood. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. He will provide for us divinely, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. We should be jumping for joy. We should be vividly glorious. We should be walking out our days in strength, in utter exultation, with a deep inner peace, because God created us, sent his son to die for us. We are robed in that righteousness, just as if a bride walks down the aisle to her groom. We are awaiting the time where we once again will be joined with him for eternity. What do we have to be worried about? What in the world is it that could cause us stress when we have all that we need already? It is only the world and the world's pull for us to be pulled out of delight into despair that keeps us spinning. And it's not that we don't get pulled. Give yourself permission to recognize that emotion. It's knowing what to do with it when we are pulled away. So let's look at Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk was in crisis, and he didn't even get out of crisis when he was saying all this. But what he was saying is, you know what? I'm in crisis, but you are my strength, and I'm allowing you to take over. In crisis, I'm allowing you to change my perspective. I'm allowing you to redirect me back to the only one that holds my direction, you. You are my hope. In the hope of a heavenly crown, I sit joyfully and cheerfully with all the comforts of you, even though I am under a lot of burdens. So that is the mindset that I almost demand myself to keep, because I am choosing to continue to desire a deeper relationship no matter my dilemma. I am giving up and surrendering my own demands. I am totally dependent on Him because I want to display and shine any and all light that I can for Him. And I refuse to be deterred. I am established in my dedication for a relationship with my God. I am allowing the Creator to give me my identity because I am His creation. So He already has my identity for me. I just have to seek it back from Him. Habakkuk 3:19, God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. So we can wallow around on the daily with our losses and our crosses, or we can stop and rejoice and hear one voice, and that is of hope, joy, love, peace, patience, faithfulness from our God. Claim it. Claim it. That's where I am, ladies. I am to the point where I refuse to be pulled by my mind or my emotions so that my actions are unbecoming. I have chosen to be overwhelmed and full of joy by my God. And I have to be my own accountability. When I say things I shouldn't, ask God to forgive me. When I think things I shouldn't, ask God to forgive me. When I do things I shouldn't, ask God to forgive me. Get over it and get on with it. Because it's not that I'm not going to do all three of those things. It's that I am not going to stay there and I'm not going to allow it to spiral. John 15:4, remain in me and I in you. Jesus said this, abide in me and I in you. Trust His timing. Is He the gardener of your heart? And think about garden tools, rakes, tillers, cultivators, spades, pruning shears, trowels. Does it bring the imagery to you that God is going to dig into our lives and into our mind and into our hearts and into our actions and weed out everything and anything that is not becoming of a daughter of His? Because what He wants on display for Him is the characteristics and attributes of Christ. So instead of fighting against all the things that He is wanting to clear out and declutter us and weed from us, what if you fell into the process? Just days ago, my overgrown rose bush, which was boldly on display. I mean, it was beautiful. I took a picture of it and did a time lapse between when we moved in and it was first put into the dirt by the landscaper. And now I knew it was just like, whoosh. But as gloriously on display as it was out of control, honestly. It was way over into the walkway coming from the driveway to the sidewalk. It was overshadowing and keeping the sun from smaller plants behind it that never had the opportunity or chance to grow as vividly. And it was almost taking up too much even of the space of the corner triangular landscape. So my heart was almost hurting as I took the two size clippers and shears and cut it back. I mean, I didn't cry, but I was sitting there thinking, wow, it is so gorgeously on display. It is so dedicated to being like, here I am. And I had deheaded it faithfully. We fertilize it. We water it. I was trimming it, but it really was just too much. So I was cutting it all back. It's going to grow as good or better next season because I've done this every year and it never fails to come back. But what is more important is out of that one plant and my recognition for, wow, I got to get this back under control. I have to be able to cover it with my winterizing tent plant cover. That's part of it. I couldn't even cover it as large as it was. So for its own good, I cut it back so I could be a cover and a protector over it as we head into freezing in winter. But out of that one plant, four large offshoot plants are going to come from it. I took four pots that we had up in the attic that was just waiting for such a time as this propagating, and I properly cut at the angle 45 of all the new shoots that were way over pencil and straw size. I mean, these are large offshoots that I cut off as large as the plant was. And put them in water, and then I've put them in soil. And I'm going to see, I will properly care for them over the winter. I will see how those offshoots now will come to display in honor of the first plant that started it. And so I think about that with our spiritual growth. We first have to have a desire. We first have to have a dependency. We first have to have a display. We have to remain dedicated. And then God is still going to control us. He's still going to say, okay, wait a minute. For your own good and for my glory and honor, I'm going to do some trimming and some restructuring because I need to still cover you and protect you in each season. And you don't know the season we're about to head into. Sometimes I think we forget that we have seasons just like the earth has seasons. So yeah, we're in spring and oh yeah, we're in fall. And God's preparing us for a winter. And we're like, winter? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, ouch, don't cut on me. And ouch, don't prune me. And ouch, don't, why you're making me smaller? No, he's wanting us to go back and abide in him and be nurtured and covered and just wait and be patient for the next season that we're going to spring forth. And then out of that, if we're really genuinely, honestly, vulnerably, authentically just walking our walk and allowing others to see us and being vulnerable and grab their hands and grab them by the arms and hug around their neck, if we really walk out and disciple others as we are going forward also, we're going to get offshoot displays of how God is working in other people because of our allowing ourselves to just walk out. If we just walk out our way, giving all glory and honor to God, it may help others walk their walk out with him too. If we're just honest and say, here's where I am, here's what I'm doing, my God is good, it gives hope to others that may not have yet experienced God's hope and faithfulness. But by our testimony, we can say, wow, God showed up. This happened. God showed up. God is my Savior. God is my peace. God is faithful. God is forgiving. God is my joy. God is my patience. And he can do it for you too. And all they may need to know is, will you help? And I hope your answer, as my answer, is yes. How can I help you? And that is gardening our soul by allowing God, the master gardener, to do what he needs to do when he needs to do it for ourselves and for others. It's not always about us. We are not the center of the story. He is the center of the story. So submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to us, and humble ourselves. That is James 4, 7 through 10. Take a look at that, because we have to remember we always rank under God, and we have to give over our will to him. James 4, 7 through 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, and humble yourselves. So if your question is, How do I have the spiritual growth and maturity of someone else that I desire to emulate? My answer is submit yourself to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, and humble yourself. And remember Toad and Frog, the first step is the desire, and you will face a dilemma. Waiting is hard. Patient is a hard season to be in, but make no demands. Remember, allow the sun to shine and the rain to fall. Be so dependent on Him and His Word, and find someone, find an accountability partner, find a faithful friend, be vulnerable with them, allow yourself to be discipled or mentored, join a community of like-minded believers, and then when you can display God's favor, His faithfulness, His patience, His joy, display it. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell someone, wow, I have a good God. Look at what my good God did or is doing, or that I have the hope, trust in what He will do. Claim it, name it. Thank you for spending time with me. Spend some time now with your good gardener of your soul. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.